been teaching about faith, but the Holy Ghost has led me to change directions tonight. Probably next time we'll pick up where we left off about faith before. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm having a hard time finding 1 Corinthians right now. I'm just so overwhelmed with what God's done here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost." And let me just deviate here from the message and make a comment. I was watching the memorial service in Dallas for the fallen, the slain officers, and was really blessed by the first person they had pray who was a Christian, and that lady just tore it up, did a really good job. But then they had a Muslim come up and pray after that. And he ended his prayer by saying that the Muslim God Allah is the same God over Jesus Christ. And there's a deception in the world today that would want to even deceive the church, the Christians, into thinking that because the Muslims have come from Father Abraham and we are spiritually grafted into Father Abraham because we have the same Father Abraham, that we have the same Father God. And that's a lie from hell. That's not true at all. Yes, we do have the same Father Abraham, but that really doesn't matter. Okay, you know, if the physical lineage of being having Father Abraham in your lineage isn't going to accomplish you anything in the kingdom of God, if you don't believe in the Jesus Christ that Abraham believes in right now, it's not about Father Abraham. And so we understand that. But here it says that anybody that says Jesus is accursed is not speaking by the Spirit of God. So to say that Jesus is anything less than the first begotten Son of God, the Messiah that rose from the dead for the salvation of mankind, is to say that he's accursed. And so Allah is not the same God as Jehovah God. Hallelujah. It's not the same. So, you know, I don't say that to attack a religion. I say that to clarify and just denounce a lie from hell that would just confuse Christians that don't know any better and think that you serve the same God as Muslims do. No, it's not the same God. They claim it's the same God, but they don't have the right to claim it's the same God. The devil always tries to springboard off of and shank off of the truth of the gospel. That's where Mormons came from in the late 1800s. Joseph Smith went crazy and came up with a crazy doctrine, and it springboards out of the Christianity, and so does Muslim. The Islam belief tries to do the same thing. The Mormons did it out of the New Testament. Islam tries to do it out of the Old Testament. But it's all a lie. You can read in Ephesians where it's one God, one Father, one Spirit, one baptism, and one faith. Hallelujah. It's all or nothing. You can't pick and choose which parts of the Bible are true and which parts are not true. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we just rebuke the devil on that. I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So Paul here is making the emphasis that you can't even be saved without the unction and the help of the Holy Ghost. That's why the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost is so serious, because when you do that and you resist the Holy Ghost once and for all out of your life, and then nobody here has done that, or you wouldn't be here tonight. But if somebody does do that, then they have pushed things to a point and hardened their heart to a point where they've shut the door to the Holy Ghost completely, and there's almost no hope of them getting saved. Okay, so you don't have to be worried about, I blaspheme the Holy Ghost. No, you may have mocked the Holy Ghost. You may have done a lot of other things. But when you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you literally refuse Him enough to where the Spirit of God will no longer strive with men. And He's not coming and knocking on the door of your hard and callous heart. And I'm not talking about you because you're here. But any individual that may have done that and they have committed the unpardonable sin, because you can't say Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Ghost. So Paul's focus and emphasis here is that it all starts with the Holy Ghost. You don't start with the Holy Ghost and then cut the Holy Ghost out. You start with the Holy Ghost, you middle with the Holy Ghost, if I can say it that way, and you finish with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he goes on to say in verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. So my message tonight is the manifestation of the Spirit. Paul here says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. So I want to tell you right now that means two things. Number one, the manifestation is given to every Christian so that you can at some point, and should be more often than not, you can manifest the Holy Ghost. You can manifest, and he specifically is talking about the gifts of the Spirit. He is specifically talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So the manifestations of the Spirit have been given to every single person in here so that at some point in your daily walk, you can manifest the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So that's given to everybody. Now, let me clarify that. There's no one single person that has all the gifts residing in them. Just like there's no preacher that has the fullness of all the fivefolds and the fullness of the fivefold ministry residing in them. Jesus did when he walked the earth. He had all fivefold offices, all nine gifts of the Spirit, and all the fruit of the Spirit. But there's nobody that has all nine gifts of the Spirit fully operating them all the time, because it is as the Spirit wills. But we have used that phrase, as the Spirit wills, as a cop-out to say, well, the Holy Ghost wasn't willing. But I'm going to show you here later on in the message that really it comes down to a lack of prayer and a lack of faith if there hasn't been the manifestation of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God, the manifestation of the Spirit, you see, it's not just a doctrine. We can't just teach about the Holy Ghost and know about the Holy Ghost and believe about the Holy Ghost and that be enough. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen tonight. Don't leave me hanging up here all by myself. Hallelujah. I'll give you some money if you shout amen. I'm just kidding. I got a lot of shouts on that. Okay, I bring out my Monopoly money, Charles. I guess all I have. Hallelujah. That's good news. The Holy Ghost, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost has been given to you to profit with all. So God has given you the manifestation. That is a natural realm manifestation of the Spirit of God for you to profit by. He wants you to profit by the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. So he is not just a doctrine. He is not just a belief. He is not just a theology. But the Holy Ghost needs to be in manifestation. Hallelujah. In our lives. And in the life of every single person. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And now Paul lists the nine gifts of the Spirit. So we're going to read through this. I'm going to talk to you about this for a little bit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. There are many times that you need. Now, first off, let me qualify the gifts of the Spirit. That in my study of the Word and in my experience, you can't use the gifts of the Spirit on yourself. Okay, what is a gift? It's something that you give. Okay, if you go to Walmart or if you go to Sears, Foley's or Dillard's, and you buy yourself something, then you went and bought yourself something. You can't technically give yourself a gift. Okay, the nature of a gift means it's given to somebody else. As the Word says, it's better to give than to receive. So the nature of these gifts means that they are given to somebody else. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the gifts of the Spirit that were in manifestation tonight, that healed the lady arthritis. Your mind gets going up here. Healed the lady of arthritis. I'm thankful for the gifts of the Spirit that touched all these people here tonight. You know what? God has gifts for those people and you tonight to meet your needs. Some of you don't need a healing miracle, but you need wisdom bad. You need a word of wisdom. Hallelujah. And David could just meet you in the hallway tomorrow and all of a sudden he just knows that person needs this. And he gives you a word of wisdom. And he just comes and says, you know, I just want to share this with you that da-da-da-da-da-da. And it can seem like the most bland, neutral words to anybody else. But it was exactly what you prayed that morning and God answered it. It's a word of wisdom that tells you what to do. Hallelujah. Word of wisdom can be applicable in your life today, in the now realm, in the current time frame, or it can be applicable in the future. But it's a word of wisdom that tells you what to do. That is so important. You know, just without teaching and getting around a rabbit trail about wisdom, just to cut to the chase, I kind of view wisdom as if having a cheat sheet. If you use that in high school and college, don't raise your hand, okay? Because we don't want you to get exposed, but it still gets under the blood. But having the wisdom of God is almost like, it's like having a cheat sheet in life where you get all of the answers to everything that you need up front. And I'm not kidding about that part. You can have all of the answers to everything that you need up front. And so somebody up here tonight that needed prayer for finances and breakthrough in that area, wisdom is the thing that you need the most. You need a word of wisdom. And you can get wisdom in your prayer time, and then, but somebody else, Pam, can see you in the hallway. You can be at work, and there'll be another Christian that goes to Eagle Mountain Church see you, and they can give you a word of wisdom, and all of a sudden you'll know exactly what to do. Because to get a miracle, a financial breakthrough, it can be one step, and you win the lottery. Now, there's a little joke there. But you can be one step and somebody gives you some money or something, but usually gold bricks aren't going to rain down from heaven to meet your financial need. Usually it's many steps. It can be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps that take you 2 or 3 years or 2 or 3 months to walk out and you see the financial breakthrough that you needed. But you need a word of wisdom. I'm telling you, all the goodness of God. So that's the word of wisdom. The more you pray in tongues, the more you will be able to give people the word of wisdom. So I am sharing this with you right now. The Holy Ghost is sharing this with you right now so that you will operate in the word of wisdom towards other people. Okay? See, it's better to give than to receive. If you need wisdom, then give wisdom to somebody else. Hallelujah. So you can operate in the word of wisdom. So just receive that right now, that you can go through the day and be praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden you'll know somebody over here needs the answer, and you've got the answer, and you go up and you give them a word of wisdom. And it doesn't have to come out in the workplace as, you know, you got to start shaking and doing the Holy Ghost jerk and shun karadada, and then walk up to somebody who's barely saved in front of all these other sinners, and you're going buck wild, and then you got to say, "Thus saith the Lord." You can just go over to him and say, "Hey, I was praying, and I believe the Lord wants you to know this because He loves you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And you give them a word of wisdom. It can even be for somebody that's totally unsaved, and they'll get saved because of the word of wisdom. Everybody needs wisdom. Because I'll tell you, the reason wisdom is so important is because there is not a single financial need in your life that God has not already met. The missing element is wisdom. Well, I need money. I know most everybody needs money. But wisdom is the principal thing. You need wisdom. If you need money real bad, but more than you need money, you need wisdom. Hallelujah. So wisdom is important. So the word of wisdom is important. Hallelujah. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. You see that a lot in healing ministers. That before they begin to flow and lay hands on people, they'll call out things. Knowledge, this is very simple, the gifts of the Spirit. The word of knowledge means you supernaturally know something that you could not have known otherwise. It's very simple. The word of wisdom means you have wisdom, you have an answer that you never could have known otherwise. Hallelujah. We've seen that in our lives in regards to things just the last few months, divine answers that we never could have known otherwise that proved, hit the bullseye, praise God. And I love the wisdom of God. And I don't want to run around in circles doing the wrong thing, praise God. But you can also have a word of knowledge for somebody. And I'm telling you, church, that you can do this and you need to do this. So go throughout tomorrow and the next day praying in tongues and have a heart to minister to people and on deliberately by faith release the gifts of the Spirit on people. Use the gifts of the Spirit on people. Hallelujah. So the word of knowledge is knowing something about somebody else that you could not have known otherwise. So let me clarify something about that. If there's a preacher that is flowing in the word of knowledge and you have just been living in major sin, you don't have to worry about the preacher discerning your sin in front of everybody and saying, "You have just done da 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 da." Because that is not how the word of knowledge works. God, you read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 that the gifts of the Spirit, particularly prophecy, which prophecy really covers these three we're talking about right now, the utterance gifts, they're commonly referred to, are for edification for people. Now, a pastor at times can get a word of knowledge that somebody's in sin as to provide a roadblock for that person as a help to them. But it's not going to be something where somebody's coming up for prayer and you have to be concerned about, well, they can pray and hear anything from God. No, you can't pray and hear anything from God you want about somebody else. You don't choose what the word of knowledge is. It's as the Spirit wills. It's not as you will. And so you don't have to be concerned about somebody reading your mail and embarrassing you or anything like that. God can call out sin through somebody else, and usually it's going to be through a pastor or maybe a real close friend or somebody spiritually stronger than you that loves you. And in a lot of cases, a mom or dad for children. and they're to prevent destruction down the road. Hallelujah. But you don't have to be worried about a word of knowledge flowing and somebody exposing you publicly, because God's not in the business to embarrass it. And sin is not the big issue anyway. Hallelujah. It's been defeated. Hallelujah. It doesn't need to be repented of, but it has been defeated. So the word of knowledge is simply getting a word of knowledge, knowing something supernaturally about somebody else that you could not have known otherwise. And the word of knowledge will really, really minister to people, lost, unsaved people, and saved people, because you will read the desires and the secrets of their heart. It says in 1 Corinthians, you read through chapter 14, Paul said that you will reveal the secrets of their heart and they'll call on Jesus. They'll get saved because you have revealed the secrets of their heart. And that's a powerful tool. Hallelujah. The word of knowledge. You can know things about somebody by the Spirit of God. But you see, Paul said the greatest of these is love. So to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you have to love people. Amen. I'm not going to preach a message on love right now, which you can read 1 Corinthians 13. But you have to love people and care about meeting other people's needs. And then you'll be used by the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, moving on. For one is given by the Spirit, in verse 8, the word of wisdom. Another, by the word of knowledge. One other thing about the word of knowledge, as I said in the healing ministry, you see this used a lot where somebody, a preacher, will be up there and he'll have a word of knowledge about so-and-so has this and so-and-so has this. And then as a result, the healings begin to hit real hard. Okay, let me just share with you something that I've got a friend, Charlie Elliott Sr., that flows very, very strong in the word of knowledge. In a revival we did in Mexico years ago in Ciudad Mante, we're sitting there on the front row and he wasn't even preaching. His son was, and I'm there, and I've, you know, seen a lot of healing miracles even in this revival, but his dad's there, and his dad's just sitting there in praise and worship, just like, he writes down something, and then like a minute or two later, he writes down something else. And then by the time the service gets turned over to his son Charlie, he just hands his son Charlie, they both have the same name, just hands his son Charlie this little piece of paper with three or four words of knowledge on it. And he wasn't preaching or anything, but he just, the God has got that gift on him of the word of knowledge. And he just sits there and gets words of knowledge. And people hear that their sickness or their disease was called out. And as a result, their faith just catapults through the roof and they get healed. And so I tried that once and it didn't work. I've always felt like my ministry evangelistically was like a bulldozer. I mean, just get in and just shove things out of the way. And it's kind of been my personality, and I've had to learn to temper myself and not hurt people. You know, before you learn how to temper yourself with the gifts and strengths that God's given you, you can use those and you'll hurt people and run them over. And but you know, so when a healing ministry, I've just like tonight, you know, just let's get them healed. Somebody come up, we're going to get you healed in the name of Jesus. I love reading Smith Wigglesworth, how in a lot of his services he would start off and say the first three people that stand up are going to get healed of whatever they have. And I've read that, and I love doing that. You know, just the word of knowledge is great, but God just doesn't use me that way. I heard Pastor Jim Harris down in Portland, Texas, say this. It's the small Portland. He said this, that I think it can't be improved upon. This is the best way that I've ever heard it in regards to the gifts of the Spirit, that there are resident gifts and there are non-resident gifts. I believe, and I'm just saying this because the call of God, I believe that the gift of healing resides on God's call on my life, but I don't believe that the word of knowledge is resident in the call of God on my life, because I almost never operate in the word of knowledge. And so after that conversation with Charlie Elliott, I'm thinking, I never do operate in the word of knowledge. And I begin to get concerned. Like maybe I was just being, you know, hasty and going into the healing altar calls and not giving the Holy Ghost a chance. So one time in a service, I just was I felt the healing anointing. I knew people were going to get healed, but I thought, all right, I'm just going to do a word of knowledge. And it's as the Spirit wills. And the Spirit wasn't willing anything. And nobody came forward and it didn't work. See, but it was good to do that for me because I proved to myself that this is not a resident gift. See, the gift of healing in my ministry is resident, almost in not in every service. I can't make it happen any time that I want. But in the majority of services, the gift of healing is there, and especially if somebody comes that needs to be healed. And you know, while I'm talking about that, if you come and you need to be healed, and pastor's doing a healing line or something, or if pastor doesn't do a healing line and you came Sunday morning and you need to be healed, then go to pastor after the service and ask him to lay hands on you. We've got to stop being so sissy and wishy-washy about, well, the Holy Ghost didn't lead. Well, I mean, come on. Pastor told a story once that somebody came up to him and was really frustrated because pastor didn't come to him, this person, and visit them in the hospital. And he said, you never called the staff or the church or anybody and told us you were in the hospital. And they said, well, I figured the Holy Ghost would tell you. I mean, come on. That's ridiculous. Don't over-spiritualize it and be this little sissy that you're too... Don't be too afraid to come up and say, I'm here to get healed, Pastor. I'm telling you, there's some healing miracles that have happened the past several months when pastor's been doing healing altar calls. And so you don't have to wait for the preacher to do everything for you is my point. The woman with the issue of blood didn't wait for Jesus to do anything. Jesus was and is God. I'm sure he knew by the Holy Ghost that the woman with the issue of blood was pressing in and about to touch him. He could have turned around at any moment and gone and done everything for her. But she needed to take the step of faith because faith without works is dead. So you have to put a demand on what God's doing. So just a little rabbit trail there. But I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit, resident gifts and non-resident gifts. A few times, I mean, almost not even once a year, does the word of knowledge manifest through me. And now we're about to talk about prophecy. Prophecy does flow through me a lot more often. And that actually had a breaking through moment when it started. It was very clear the day, I remember the day when the gift of prophecy begin to flow in my life. Up until then, it did not flow at all. So just to help you understand, we talk about the utterance gifts, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and prophecy. In other words, they have to do with uttering something. Then there are the power gifts, which are the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. I know I'm throwing you out a lot of information here. Let me just read through the rest of the gifts so you can see all this. And I know most of you have already read this. Verse 8, we're just going to read them all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, the gift of faith, one of the power gifts, to another gifts of healing, that's a power gift, another working of miracles, that's a power gift. And this is just ways that preachers over the years have classified them that I think help simplify it. You don't have to build a doctrine around it. And verse 10, to another working of miracles, and then now prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, which is revelation, another tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Those are often called the revelation gifts. Discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues are often called the revelation gifts. And so you have those three classifications there. So talking about resident gifts and non-resident gifts, it's important for you to know. I'm going to tell you right now that everybody here, God has given to every man or woman too, it's the same, every person, the manifestation of the Spirit to profit with all. So I don't think you would be doing any injustice to the Scripture to say that God has given every single person in here a gift of the Spirit. One of the nine gifts of the Spirit is resident in your life. Because God's not, he's no respecter of persons. He's not going to give David King a gift just because the ministry and not give you anything. Every single one of you has one of these nine gifts of the Spirit resident in your life. I mean, most of you have prayed in tongues. So there you've got one right there. And so you've got to value your gift. So it's important to know what resident gift you have that is always in operation in your life. Praise God. It's important to know which ones aren't so you don't freak out and think, oh my gosh, I don't flow in the word of knowledge. I'm not as good as Benny Hinn. I need to do it just like Benny Hinn if I'm going to be using the healing ministry. And then you get up like I did that one time and you fake a word of knowledge and it doesn't work. So it won't work, trust me. I've been there and done that. And you can't make people get healed just because the power of God is there to heal people. I did that once too down in Mexico in 98. There was a guy there that I called out of the crowd. He had been in the few of the services, and he had hearing problems. He was either deaf and somewhat blind. I mean, it was a bad one. And I was like, praise God, you come up here. God's going to heal you right now in the name of Jesus. I said, you know, I speak Spanish and spoke in Spanish. And I'm like, God's going to heal you right now in front of everybody. And the Holy Ghost didn't lead me to do any of that. And he didn't get healed. I prayed for him. I rebuked the devil. That didn't work. I prayed God heal him, and that didn't work. I prayed this, and nothing worked. You know, I was like, how is it now? How is it now? And then you could barely even hear me. I'm like, how is it now? I mean, you feel real stupid when you're the healing evangelist up on the crusade platform and you just shouted over the loudspeaker, God's going to heal you in front of everybody, and the guy can't even hear you ask the question if he's healed yet. But I realized I made a mistake, and I went on to the next person, and the next person was just radically healed because I was led by the Spirit on that. So it is important, write this down, it is important to know what the gift of the Spirit is that you have. You need to know the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you. And number two, that's number one. Number two, you also need to be ready to operate in any of the 9 gifts of the Spirit throughout your lifetime. Because just because it's not a gift in your life doesn't mean that God won't use you at times. Any of the 9 gifts of the Spirit can flow through you at any time. The word of knowledge hardly ever flows through me. I've seen the word of wisdom and prophecy, but the word of knowledge hardly ever flows through me. And everybody else I know that operates in the healing ministry flows real strong in the word of knowledge. And I've prayed in tongues excessively and tried to force it, and it just didn't work. But, you know, now I know. But I know what gifts flow through me all the time. And so the reason it is important for you to know what gifts God has placed in your life is so that you can develop faith in the operation of that gift. Because it's not enough just to have it. It's just like getting, as a child, a giant bicycle for Christmas and your parents didn't assemble it for you. You just got the box. Well, thank God you got the box with the bicycle in it. But you need to take it out. You need to read the instructions. Read the Bible. Read the Word about the gifts of the Spirit. You need to pray. You got to put a little effort. As a 12-year-old boy, and I remember when it was my birthday or Christmas, I got a remote control car. You know, when I was 13 or something, remote control cars were the biggest, were huge. I mean, guys like me love these things. They're like this big, you know, got the remote. And I made the fastest remote control car that anybody ever had. I cheated. And I put 2 batteries in that thing. It went twice as fast as everybody else's. But I built that thing overnight all by myself. You know, it wouldn't have been enough for me to just think, oh, look, I got a remote control car and it's just sitting there in the box. It's not enough for you to know that you have a gift of the Spirit if you don't pray about it and pray over it and study the Word and develop it by faith and make something happen. Faith without works is dead. The gifts of the Spirit in your life are dead if you don't use and apply works to it. Just turn with me to the book of James. Most people, if you were to quote this verse and just take the King James out of it a little bit, most people, if you didn't tell them you just quoted James, most people would think you just blasphemed. It's so astounding here. Let's see. Just do some reading here. Verse 17, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 18, yes, a man may say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is God, there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. But will you know, man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? See then how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him to righteousness. At verse 24, here's the verse. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. If you were just to go up and tell most people that scripture and take the King James out of it and say, you are not justified by faith alone, but you have to apply works to it, most people would think you've just blasphemed. And the whole hyper-grace movement would probably want to just stone you for it. But that's the Word of God. I mean, there's no misunderstanding what God is saying here. Receiving it is not enough. You've got to apply works in the natural realm to use the gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So, God has given you gifts. He has given you anointings, but you've got to develop it. And it takes work in the realm of the natural. It takes prayer time. That's why Jesus said, you pray, go to the prayer closet and pray. And what you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, pray without ceasing. So prayer time is important. Time in the Word is important. And when you develop the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you, then all of a sudden you're going to be out in the workplace or at home. One of your kids is sick. And all of a sudden you're going to feel this anointing that you feel in the room right now. All of a sudden you're going to be like, what in the world? But you're going to be sensitive to it because you've been applying works to it. Because you've been applying prayer and word study. And you're going to say, you know what? My kid is sick. And go lay hands on them and rebuke the devil, and they're going to get totally healed right there. The flu is going to leave instantly. And it would not have happened otherwise, but because you have applied works to your faith is no longer dead. The gifts of the Spirit in your life are no longer dead, and now they're bringing a harvest of blessing to other people. And it's the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. So God has given you a manifestation of the Spirit so that you can help bless other people, that everybody in your life can profit by the gift of the Spirit that you have. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that's the introduction, and we're coming up on 9 o'clock, so we'll wrap it up right there. But God has given you the manifestation of the Spirit so that you can profit with all. I'm just going to finish up with a few comments about the gifts of the Spirit. In regards to prophecy, I remember specifically, it was in 2010 when Dwight Thompson was here. And my mom and I used to do prayer meetings every Tuesday morning over my ministry, Harvest Ministries International. And there came a time when we were praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, a prophetic word came out of me, and it was the first time that I ever stepped out in boldness to prophesy like that. And I said, the Lord says, and you know, you feel a little bit awkward the first time that you say that. But up until that point, the gift of prophecy had flowed very, very little in my ministry. But there was a breakover point when all of a sudden I had the Holy Ghost brought it forth, and I stepped out in boldness, and I had to say, the Lord says, and you know, only my mom was there. It's not like you're in front of hundreds of people, but still, you feel a little awkward. But you got to be bold and step out into it. God will add gifts. He will add things and increase your life, increase your ministry. He'll increase the manifestation of the Spirit so that everybody in your life can profit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up on your feet tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Before we leave tonight, I just want to pray with people. If you're here tonight and you say, David, I know that my heart is not right with God, I want you to know that Jesus is standing here with his arm reached out to you. If there's anything between you and Jesus, everybody here right now may be saved and on their way to heaven, but if there's anything between you and Jesus and you say, David, I don't know for sure that my life is right with Jesus Christ right now. You may know you're going to heaven. You may not be for sure that you're going to heaven. But Jesus is reaching out his hand to you right now. And it's not worth going out the door without knowing for sure. It's time for you to get things right with Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. And God's speaking to your heart. There may be somebody here tonight that there's been some sin and bondage in your life that you have not been able to shake. You've tried to get things right, but it keeps snagging you and pulling you down. I believe the Lord's going to touch your heart and deliver you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If that's you right now, I just want you to come down to the front. If you need to get right with Jesus tonight, if there's anything between you and your Savior, come down to the front and pray with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We may be all saved folk tonight, but if there's just one or two people, thank you, Jesus.
If that's you, just step out of your seat. I'm going to wait here just a moment longer. If there's anything between you and Jesus and you're not sure, if there's anything in your life that's not right with the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you have peace in your heart right now, then praise God for that. But if your heart's pounding right now and you're not sure, and there's a question mark right there, if tonight was your last night and you can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're going straight home to heaven to see Jesus, then we're waiting for you right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If there's anybody here tonight, just wave your hand at me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done tonight. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, for healing people, touching people in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for just the revival and the moving of the Holy Ghost that we feel here tonight. I thank you, Lord, for touching every single person in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anything else, Charlie? Yep, soul winning the rest of this week. And Pastor James Morocco is going to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night. Hallelujah. Brother Johnny, how about that song? Did you write the song, "I'm Going to Get What I Came Here For"? I want you to do that song. Brother Johnny wrote this song. It's just a powerful song. We'll just go out with this. You are dismissed tonight. Thank you for coming. We will see you next time.